beautiful, isn't it? May I be always close to you, following your ways. Dear Lord, it's beautiful. Many years ago, when I left school, I managed to organise a summer working at a scout camp in Kentucky, in America. And when that came to an end, I went to visit some friends of friends who took me to church. This was in Nashville, Tennessee. And the most memorable part of the service was when we came to sharing the peace. Now, you know how it goes here. You know, the peace of the Lord be with you. And also with you. And you perhaps get one or two people that kind of sit quietly and don't really want to share the peace with anybody because it's a little bit too friendly. And in COVID times, we had, of course, the COVID wave of peace. Peace the Lord be with you. Well, in this service, we were commanded to declare, God loves you, and so do I. So here I am, slightly introvert teenager, declaring this to a church full of strangers I've never met before. I even get a hug from this huge guy. He's about 6 foot six, and about as broad across the shoulders as that. And when he came towards me, I guess I was quite relieved I was in church and not on a sports field. But let's think about that phrase. God loves you, and so do I. It's a bit different from that summary of the law, isn't it, what we've heard today, which was effectively love the Lord your God with your all, your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. The summary tells us that we're called to what we are called to do, that is to love God and love our neighbour, whereas that peace greeting, God loves you and so do I, declares something of the gospel. So the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for us in that summary statement, God loves you. But then it does something to call into being the community that we are supposed to live in as followers of Jesus. That is, and so do I, implying, and also I love you in the same way that God loves you. God in Jesus laid down his life for us so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be reconciled to God, so that God might offer us the opportunity to spend life without end with him. That's what's behind the God loves you. He loves you so much he sent his only son. So John 3:16, for example, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, life without end with God. That's God's offer to us. But put that alongside the reality that we mess up sometimes, the reality that God knows all about us, the history that we barely acknowledge to ourselves, let alone to other people around us, and know that God knows our thoughts before we put them into words, and so recognize that God knows all about you, and he still loves you as you are. But so much so that interacting with his love and his holiness by the power of the Spirit will surely change us for the better. But possibly the harder part is living out the second half of the phrase. Yes, God loves you, and so do I. I think it's relatively easy to love God, who promises you salvation and adoption into his family, and so a share in the inheritance of his children alongside Jesus. Relatively easy, I say, until, of course, you get cancer or your friend dies or there's a random road traffic accident or a falling tree kills a child or a teenager gets leukemia or your sister has breast cancer. Then it's easy to take offence at God. But generally, it seems to me that it's easier to love God than our fellow travellers in this great adventure of faith. Partly because sometimes the only thing in common we have is our faith. And we don't necessarily have in common our educational background or our ethnicity or our history. And so sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes our fellow travellers are quite simply plonkers. Sometimes they're annoying. Sometimes they don't interpret the Bible in the same way as you do. Sometimes they just aren't as holy as you hope they might be. And I expect most of you think I'm describing myself. Well, I am. It's true. I mess up. We all mess up. The calling, the hard calling, the difficult calling, if you like, is to love other people who are also followers of Jesus, even when they mess up, even when they do things that you do not like. But think about this. Those of you who are parents, do you like everything that your child, even your adult child, does? No. Does it stop you loving them? No. And if you're not a parent, look back over your own life. Whoever looked after you, did they always like the things that you did, the words that you used? No, I didn't think so. So how then do we love while sometimes not liking the actions or words or attitudes of our fellow pilgrims? It's a hard one. The challenge of being adopted into God's family is that we're called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ in the same way as Christ loves us. And that's hard. It takes practice. It takes forgiveness. It takes ingenuity, if you like, to love and still to encourage individuals to godliness and growth in Christian maturity. Sometimes I have to remind myself in the Lord's Prayer that we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." Which sometimes to me feels like somehow the willingness of God, excuse me, the willingness that God has to forgive us is linked to our willingness to forgive others. And that's huge. But really one to unpack another day. The most positive way of seeing this is that God is willing to forgive us all our sins, all our rebellion against him, past, present, and future. So then who are we to demonstrate some other lesser form of forgiveness to our fellow travellers? So today, this week, this season, remember that God loves you, and let's practice calling into being the kind of community that God longs for by declaring not just that God loves you, but also so do I. Unless we declare a desire, then the reality is unlikely to follow. Let me read to you a little passage from Galatians 6 that might help us. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So remember, friends, God loves you, and so do I. Thank you.